Job openings, broadcast engineer, director of finance and operations, and director of development. Go to democracynow.org for more information. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Carla Wills, Gaurav Gottesdiener. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Yeehaw. Thanks, Amy. That was rad. You're listening to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook. That's on the FM dial. You can also stream at WUSB.FM. We also have playlists and a bunch of other stuff there. But without further ado, it's time for Off the Wall. Hope you're having fun. And stuff.
Thank you.
Yes, you're listening to Off the Wall with Emmanuel. And I'm Kyle, engineering here at the Norman Preslin Studios.
Well, there's nothing for me to say because you already introduced me.
I did introduce you because I know you're there.
Am I here? Yeah, I guess I am. Okay, well, here I am.
Yes.
Here we both are.
Yes.
First live show in quite a while.
Yes.
Well, okay, so you were talking about the train in Austria. We have to pick up where we left off.
Yeah.
I ran out of time last week very quickly because I'm sick of this damn trip we took over a year ago. Train to Vienna from Budapest. It went on the tracks and got there and we arrived and, yeah. Any other memories?
Yeah, we just basically grabbed our bags. I really liked the station in Vienna and in Salzburg. Very modern, totally full of activity and just clean and sort of space age.
Yeah.
It really was amazing in Austria. I'd never really gotten to explore any of the cities and in some of my other travels in Europe. So that was a real treat.
Well, it's a very picturesque city as far as just the architecture and the lighting and just it's a place where they put money into the things that are important.
Yeah.
And it shows. It really does.
We explored the streetcars, as I'm sure our listeners imagine. We've always got a curiosity for transit systems when we go places. So
we
that
went
was
to the Mozart Cafe, right? Wasn't that what it was
that's
called?
A very old, very famous dessert and coffee place. It reminded me a bit of like high tea at the Empress Hotel in Victoria, B.C., but it was a bit more...
wait, you just threw that out there. Victoria, B.C.? I've never even been there.
Oh, it's nice.
Really?
They do a tea time at the Empress. And,
I didn't know that. Okay.
I think it's the Empress Hotel in Victoria, but it's very similar, except this is the Mozart Cafe in Vienna. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. Fun trip. Recommend it, and we'll be back. We will go back.
Yeah, if nothing else, just to remember what it was we did last time we were there. And we are going to finish this right now because we have other things to talk about tonight. If I recall correctly, we stayed in Vienna for a little bit, just wandered around. I know Citizen 4 was playing in various theaters, and we were seeing it. It was really kind of cool to see.
Yeah, we saw it in the attraction, like the letterboards above the theater,
just in the streets of Vienna, which was cool. And there was also another incident involving
a
cafe.
The graffiti, yeah.
Graffiti. What was that again? I'm trying to remember what happened.
No homo.
Yeah, somebody wrote that on the cafe. The cafe did something, I thought. The cafe did something bad, and they were condemned for it.
They had thrown some people out, and then the...
That's right. They threw people out for being gay. That's
right. It was, you're not allowed if you're gay, so that's what happened. They were thrown out, we walked by. We wanted to see where this had taken place, and I do recall, I'll look it up, but I think basically some message had been scrawled on the side of this cafe, and it's an old stone building.
Uh-huh.
And it was something to the effect of no homophobia, which is...
Well, that's very different from no homo.
Well,
that
was the attitude of the cafe.
Right,
that's
right.
What I was
so
saying.
they were closed down when we walked by there because I guess they were just in shame or something. I think they have recovered and have a more enlightened approach to their clientele and life goes on. Do you remember the guy that was gaming the system of newspapers? There was this old guy who was figuring out a way to get money from newspapers that were being sold on the street.
I know. He had like a razor blade with him. Okay, I found the picture. It's smash homophobia. That's what was spray painted.
Hold the picture up to the microphone. That's
really, everybody can see.
Yeah.
There
you know,
it is.
We were playing a video just now. I can't. Democracy Now! Was a video. I mean, why are we playing video on the radio, folks?
That's a good photo. That's a good
smash homophobia. That's what the graffiti said.
That's what you get.
It's also it's multicolor. It's the smash is green
and homophobia is in purple.
That's right. How it should be. Okay, so the guy, the old guy, he must have been in his 80s.
Yeah, he was just this cantankerous kind of crabby looking guy, but he had a kind of a mosey about him, and he would go from these stationary newspaper kiosks that had a little coin catcher.
Yeah, people go and they set these things up all throughout the streets, and then they come and they collect the money.
Correct.
But this guy had a system, and it looked like he'd been doing it for a long time.
And I thought he had a razor blade of some kind, but he had some method of checking them to see if any coins had gotten stuck or something, or otherwise grabbing an extra euro or something.
And he was literally
from the bottom. I don't know how he did it.
Literally a couple of steps ahead of the much younger guy who was coming to collect the money. And he knew he had to stay in a particular place to avoid getting caught. And it was really nimble. I got to say, I was very impressed.
The industriousness was really a thrill. It was a sight to see. We really were taken aback at the refusal to retire from work, because life is work, you know, and you have to keep going. So, brilliant.
That's what he's doing. That was work.
He made his own job. Yeah.
Stealing money was work. I guess that's how he spent his life.
Can't help himself.
No, I suppose not.
He's honest.
Well, anyway, from there, we went to Strasbourg. That's been heavily documented. We did a couple of radio shows in Strasbourg, and we've talked about it. So other than saying Strasbourg is really, really nice, I don't think we need to say much more about that. And then from Strasbourg, we took that local train, which was also documented on these airwaves. Actually, we took three local trains. We got our rental car. I just want to say getting the rental car was a special kind of hell, because we thought it would be simple to pick it up at whatever that German city was that we wound up stopping in. We couldn't get the rental car at the train station. It was a mile or two down the road. I wound up walking to get it, and you stayed at the station. It took me about 2 hours to figure out how to get back to the station because of all the one-way streets and construction and various roundabouts and things like that. It was so frustrating. There were no navigational tools at my disposal, and I had no way of contacting you. So I was in tears, basically, when I finally found you. And it was so incredibly annoying, because it was like a bus station and a train station. I kept winding up in a mall. I kept winding up in a parking garage, and I couldn't get to where you were, and I couldn't leave the car anywhere. But we finally got the car, and then we drove it across Germany again to Brussels, which is where we found we drove it to the border town by Belgium, and I took a local train over because you were already in Brussels, and we found a discounted airfare back home. On an Indian airliner for like $150. That's it.
Indeed.
I don't remember anything about the airplane ride. A lot of Indian people on board.
A little turbulence on the way back in.
A little turbulence.
I was going to add some things, but you already wrapped it
no,
up.
No, go ahead.
No.
I was just spitting out what I had, and I'm empty now. So you go ahead and regurgitate whatever you have too.
I don't think it would be appropriate. Anyway, moving right along to our theme for the night.
We have a theme. Oh, boy.
Our show this evening, I'm really excited.
It's an abbreviated show.
Well, it is abbreviated, but our theme is thieves and liars.
Usually it's liars and thieves, but okay, fine. Thieves and liars.
Yeah. Thieving, all right. Thieving and lying.
We already talked about one thief.
There is a lot of that in the news right now, and we're curious. We've discussed this. We were in our planning meeting today for the show, and it came up.
I'm sorry again about spilling the wine.
I know.
I just woken up.
Such a waste.
Yeah, it was. It was good stuff, too.
And it has been in the news a lot. There has been a lot of discussion about lying. Who's lying? When, you know, the government's lying. Are we being lied to? Are we lying to the world? Is our leader a liar?
Is this candidate
a liar?
Uh-huh.
And thieving.
Thieving.
A lot of stealing going on.
Uh-huh.
People are stealing all kinds of things. Maybe not.
Anything and everything.
It's one of those everyday things, but it's been part of the accusations thrown around in a lot of the politics and global sort of issues. Thievery. Are we stealing minerals? Are we stealing land? Are we stealing oil, resources, that kind of stuff. But also, it's an everyday thing that really bugs me. I mean, it's one thing, like, I think if you're wandering around an abandoned construction site and you find a full container of caulk.
Excuse me?
You can steal that caulk.
Wait. Hold on a second. All right, I'm still just barely awake here, but a container of what now?
Yeah, like liquid nails or some studs. Say you see some studs? On a construction site, and no one's using the studs and everything's done. You can take those studs, I think.
Okay, all right. Well, this is new information for me.
Let's not get taking
some notes.
I don't want to diverge. Yeah, everybody should be paying very careful attention. Intense meeting today. But okay, so that there's that. But then there's boosting, which is like going into a retail and actually stealing just because you can.
Because your friend gives you a boost up to the window?
Right, whatever. Boosting, stealing from your friends, stealing from loved ones. Maybe you're stealing time. Maybe you're stealing yourself away from the people that want you the most. There's so many ways we steal, and we're stolen from.
Wow.
If that's even a phrase. But it irks me. And, you know, bicycle thieves have a particular place. Well, a particular end.
Why are there so many damn bicycle thieves?
It's true. People who thieve bicycles, there's a recipe for them. It's bicycle thief pie.
Does it have cyanide in it? I hope so.
Mm-hmm. It's a variation.
Uh-huh.
It's a garnish. But my point is thieving and stealing. Is it okay? I mean, is it morally reprehensible for there to be liars in your life or in the world, in our government? Is lying okay?
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to answer so quickly, but yes.
If you lie every 7 minutes, uh-huh, is that better than lying every 3 minutes?
No. It's okay. Not a question of how often you lie. It's a question of how you lie, when you lie. Lying is not wrong. I talked about having wine at our meeting before. Maybe that's not true. Maybe it was actually scotch. Am I lying? Am I a horrible person? Or am I simply making it a more colorful dialogue by illustrating it with fiction? Is everybody who writes a book that's not true a liar? You know, if you lie to somebody you care about something important, that's bad. No question about it. You know, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm, if you say to an operator at the credit card company you call because they tell you that you have a suspicious transaction on your credit card when it's something that you buy every damn month, and you tell them to have a nice day and you don't mean it, are you a liar? Well, yeah, I guess you are, but who cares? Doesn't matter. This person doesn't know who you are. Well, they do because they have all your information, but you know they don't know who you are, and you can basically put on different personas depending on the situation.
Okay. So, is there a universal way to measure lies? I mean, is that sort of what you're positing there?
Yeah, I suppose. A lie meter or something of that nature. Something that indicates how serious the lie actually is. And if it actually is even a lie.
So, how do we measure a lie?
How do we measure the truth? I mean, do you have to tell the truth all the time? I'm amazed by how many people tell social media everything about themselves. They always use their real name, their real address, their real everything, because they don't lie. But I think that's stupid. I think, you know, you should put out as much misinformation about yourself as possible, and that's how you preserve your privacy. And is privacy a form of lying, you know? Because you're not giving out all the information that's being requested of you.
What if someone finds out? What do you think of someone who might know that you lied to them?
Oh.
Does it matter that you are perceived as a liar.
Wait, is this something that I did that you're going to hit me with all kinds of evidence about something I said to you that wasn't necessarily true? Am I being set up here? Because, you know, Kyle, I'm trying to think. I have tried to be as honest as I can. There are certain things that, yes, I have withheld, but it's in your best interest that I did that. And I was only looking out for you. All right. So, you know, please, go easy on me. I'm sweating bullets here right now. What could it be?
No, it... Whoa.
Hey, where's the disco music coming from?
We just got patched into disco.
Turn that damn disco music off, thanks.
We were using that.
The sports people are here. And, no, it's okay. Okay. We're not gonna use that. Yank that, but we don't need any disco music in this place.
So, yeah. Because we're not using that, everybody, we are abbreviated tonight.
No, channel 8 is yours. You can have it.
It totally sounds like I'm doing that, doesn't it?
It does sound like you're setting me up for something.
No,
I'm
not
a little
at all.
Worried.
This is totally off the top of my head, actually.
Okay. All right.
But we are not going to be able to take your calls tonight. We have an abbreviated show. We won't be in delay. We won't be using the phones. But you can write us at otw@2600.com, and we'll possibly read what you write if it isn't filtered. Maybe even read it on the air, a second time. So
sounds good.
But
yes, please continue.
In any event, is it? Do you care if people, like, if someone finds out that you lied, and whether you know it or not, when you lie, mm-hmm. there's a chance someone could realize you're a liar. Does that matter?
Yes. Well, it depends on the nature of it, on how important what you're talking about is. I mean, I've been caught lying a couple of times about things that kind of mattered, you know, where I said one thing to somebody and they, you know, said, and then something else to someone else, and then they talked to each other, and I felt kind of sleazy about that. You know, I'm not being honest with people. So that's the kind of thing you should try to avoid, things that, you know, where you're not being sincere to somebody. It's much easier to, if you think negatively of somebody, to simply withhold information rather than say something bad, that you're going to say something completely opposite to a different person. And if they talk, then you look, very untrustworthy. There are ways of avoiding that. You don't have to. It's all a question of lying in one way or another way. Do you praise somebody that you think is doing something bad, or do you say something bad about somebody that you need to get along with? It's all a question of measure.
Yeah. And do you do it? Is there a pattern?
I hope
that,
not.
Because that can create a perception of your character.
Once you start lying,
pathological liar, someone who consistently lies, people who lie about, like, everybody I think has the grade school experience of the kid who told them just wild things that lied about everything.
Yeah.
Right. Or, I mean, you've had maybe coworkers or people that really exaggerated all kinds of, just oddly exaggerated, or badly. There are also people who are vague, who try to play dumb with you.
Yes.
Like, maybe you understand what's going on, and they think they can avoid you being a liar, or being found to be a liar in one way or another. But you've really caught on. You know that it... in some way or another.
Okay. Yes. Well, as far as that goes, I suppose you're right about that. Are we working this over to get to Trump at some point, or is this are we avoiding talking about the elephant in the country, which is something that. That we need to talk about tonight, because it's what they call now Super Tuesday number 3. And that's where we really kind of get to the point of no return in this whole campaign. And I think the whole country is kind of holding its breath right at this moment. Is that sort of a tie-in to what we were discussing here?
Well, yeah, I was sort of getting at that. I'm sure a lot of people caught on. Anybody who's been paying attention to the news, I've had a couple things going on last couple weeks myself with deception and thievery and various things like that. It's definitely it's all around you, you know, in life. And I think it definitely has come to a head this week. We're really focused on that.
There were an odd number of spicy wings, okay? The fact that I took the odd one does not make me a liar or a thief. It makes me fast, I think. You know, everyone's looking out. Look, we don't have time to really get into the details of that. But I hear your point. I hear your point. It's all around us in various ways. You got to pick your battles. You got to pick your, you know, what's important to you. But I do want to, since we have an abbreviated show tonight, I do want to focus a bit on what's going on, what has been going on, because we haven't been live in a while.
Oh, certainly. Go ahead.
Wow. You know, we were talking about this whole Trump issue last year and how crazy it was then, and it's gotten even more crazy now. You know, if we had known what we know now, then we would not have believed that that's even possible, that we could be talking about what we're talking about tonight, which is basically Donald Trump could reach the point of no return with delegate counts. And the Republican Party is panicking, and rightfully so. I got to say, though, and I'm not lying when I say this, I kind of want him to win. I want him, not the presidency, God, no. I want him to win the nomination. Reason being, something that Marco Rubio said, and I rarely quote Marco Rubio, but he said that if we have Donald Trump as our nominee, the Republican Party will be destroyed. And I don't know, I kind of just like the sound of that, you know, that the Republican Party is going to be destroyed if Donald Trump, and yeah, that it would destroy them, absolutely. In fact, they already may be destroyed by what has happened so far. I mean, watching the debates, we've seen every debate. And it's night and day watching the Republican debate where everybody is tearing into each other and literally having sixth grade level conversations of bravado and accusations. And then you go to the Democrats and they're actually talking about policies, intelligent things. You feel like an adult watching that. They even agree with each other sometimes. They treat each other with respect for the most part. And I like to think that there are enough people out there watching this that will see that and act upon that. But one thing that kind of gets me that I don't think enough people are focusing on. Yeah, we see what Donald Trump is doing week after week, month after month. We see the horrible things he says, and we see how he encourages all kinds of bad behavior, violence. Yes, he does encourage it. There's no question about it. Just watch his rallies, you'll see.
And then lies about it.
So that's why I thought that's where you were heading with the liar thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so he's a jerk. He's a bad person. There's no question about this. You know, ever since I saw him in the Home Alone sequel, I thought he was a bad person. You know, someone mentioned this on I think Twitter the other day, that, yeah, you know, even in that movie where he was supposedly not a bad guy, he's still a jerk. He sees a lost kid in New York City and doesn't tell anybody. Well, whatever. I'm over that. Thing is, we see Donald Trump doing this week after week. And yeah, it's disturbing that such a person is out there saying these things. What's more disturbing, though, is that there are millions and millions and millions of people who follow him and will vote for him. And even if he does get stopped one way or another, those people are still around. And there's an awful lot of them. And they're scary people. They're scary people. They're, I don't want to say irrational people, because no, they're rational. They're just, their rationality is alien to me.
Well, they're convinced they're right.
Well, yeah, who isn't? But just the ultra-nationalism, the hatred, the racism, the sexism, it's all there. And it's all there in one big neo-fascist package. It's something that we have to deal with. And I'm kind of glad we are dealing with it. When Chicago last Friday, we were watching this as it was unfolding. A Trump rally was canceled. He said postponed, but you know what? I don't think he's going to go back. Canceled because all these people were demonstrating against him inside the rally and outside the rally as well.
And breaking out into small scuffles and stuff as things were being cleared or rearranged in the confusion.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny how you watch the right-wing people on TV. They always say the same thing. They always say things like Hillary Clinton declared half the country as enemies. You know, when she said that, who does she consider enemies? Well, the, you know, Republican Party. obviously a lighthearted way of saying that that's the competition. But no, that means that she believes everybody, half the country is evil, and she has to fight them to the death. They say things like that. They accuse people who hold up picket signs of being violent, and they try and flip things around. You know, calling people on the left wing racist, or saying Bernie Sanders is sending his thugs into Trump rallies. The most ridiculous things, but they all fall into line and say this nonsense. And you talk about lying. Wow, that's the kind of lie that you could wind up sort of believing yourself, because it's convenient. It gets your agenda across.
Yeah, and I think that's the really fun part of this, the really fascinating part for me as a media scholar and a practitioner. It's about the message. It's about what we are disseminating into the consciousness, and what kinds of things we're implying in images and signaling. And it is a plethora, a cacophony of meaning and allegiance and like divisiveness, mm-hmm. and nationalism, and this sort of infusion with morality and value, like traditional values being sort of conflated and hijacked. Like, I think lying is a part of values, like morality, like my moral compass, how I was brought up influences how and when I lie,
mm-hmm.
if at all. And I think that should apply to everybody. I think a lot of people have all of these things they're so certain they're right about, but they're terribly compromised in other ways, like with honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is a measure of how credible people should be perceived, how credibly people should be perceived. And I think if you're listening and you're getting sick of what you hear, speak up.
Yeah.
Because that is kind of what's going to be counted on the next couple months, is people to not be active and not dissent some of the opinions flying around. And they are flying. This stuff is whirling about, people.
It is. And it's about time, too, though. And that's one thing I'm kind of happy for this, because I don't like things to stagnate. I prefer when there's lively debate going on and change is in the air. And that's one of the reasons why I support Sanders, because with Sanders, you have the feeling that some kind of a revolution is possible. When I say revolution, I don't mean, you know, fighting in the streets. I mean just rethinking the way we do things and changing our values to be more in line with progressive thinking. You know, things like universal health care, cheap or free tuition, better infrastructure, less world policing, things like that. So that's why I support him as a potential president. But by the same token, I also support Trump being in the race, because he will certainly inspire revolution, too. It's just a different kind, a reaction to what he's doing. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing the beginning of that with people reacting to the crap that he spews.
It's burgeoning.
Yeah, and it's about time, because we've been sitting on our asses too long and letting things happen. We let 8 years of George W. Bush happen. How is that even possible? We did it, and we have to pay for it for a very, very long time. Let's not do that again. Let's speak up. Let's be loud. And I think that's one thing that 8 years of Obama has given us, is the ability to speak up a little bit and realize that, hey, we can move in a better direction. And I know, you know, a lot of liberal people will say, oh, but he didn't do this and that and that. You know, yeah, obviously he didn't do everything we want to do. He did some bad things. Pick a president that's not going to do that. You won't find any. But let's focus on the positive. Yeah, the positive that has come out of this. If you really believe that we would have been in the same place with 8 years of John McCain, there's nothing I can say to you. There's just no way I can reach you. I think if we use this this Trump thing going on, whatever it is, it's bizarre, I'll tell you that, as a springboard to something better, we can really make some progress with this. We really can. Right now, I see Republicans floundering and panicking, and got to tell you, it feels good.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just cavalier enough to think that it's not that this backlash can play into his hand. Maybe for a second, maybe to some pundits, some people, you know, regulars on the talk shows and on the news cycle, but it is just getting started. And I welcome him. Mm-hmm. And everyone on the Republican side to the general election.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that will be so much
fun. It's a little different.
But here's what I predict could happen. Not that will happen, but could happen. If Trump decides not to run, it's going to be because he doesn't need the hassle. You know what? I just thought about it, thought about my family, and I don't need this craziness. You know, let the politicians deal with it. I tried. I did my best. I'm proud of what I did. And you know what? If I had stayed in, I would have won. I would have, you know, the heavyweight wrestling spiel. That's really the only way I can see him leaving the race, other than something unpredictable happening and a lot of people defeating him in the weeks ahead. Tonight is key, though. Tonight is the night where a bunch of states vote, including Illinois and Ohio and Florida. If he gets those states, he's pretty much unstoppable as far as getting the nomination. So it's kind of it's going to be a nervous night, I think, for a lot of people.
Yes, he'll have to watch out for all the lead pies.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know exactly when. But anyway, we have to get out of here. I wanted to leave us, though, with a warning, with something that could be our future. It's a pro-Trump song from a southern rock band known as Laser Snake. It's called Make America Great Again. It's just everything you could possibly fear and dread and loathe. This could be something you hear a lot more of if you're not careful. This will take us right into the upcoming lacrosse game, I believe. So, any final words, Kyle?
Oh, no. I'm so glad we were able to express ourselves this evening, and I'm so thankful for WSB. Good night.
It's time for a change in the White House, y'all. Liberty. Bring it. If you want the real deal, then you gotta get a real leader. Want a real leader, then we need a real man. Build a wall, deal with all them terrorists. America needs a man that can. If you wanna feel safe in your own backyard, one choice, gotta play your trump card. Socialist Sanders, Ned freaking Flanders, Army Rangers and the Navy SEALs, all stand strong with the art of the deal. If you like your eyes and you love your guns, one choice, the only one. When I say Trump, you say hell high. When I say Trump, make America cool.
like having the right to bear arms? Protect your family? What about the ability to work a job? Have jobs available to workers? You know who we need? His name starts with a D and ends with a Trump.
Live from LaValle Stadium, Matt Mankiewicz, Shale Henry, bringing you all the action here at WUSB Stony Brook and also on AmericaEast.tv. They take on the Hofstra Pride, and the matchup goes back a long time here, Shale Henry, but it's the first time these two have met since...